Hello and welcome to the Dr. Nyman Show. Today is Saturday, January 25th, 2020. There has been quite a bit of activity with the novel coronavirus, as there always seems to be. You know, things seem to be speeding up even more. And actually, the president of China, Xi Jinping, gave a warning this morning that it was that China's basically entered a grave situation. So the situation over there does not look very good, and it is spreading internationally and almost kind of worldwide now. So for all of this and more, Dr. Nyman joins us back.
Okay, thank you, Ryan. Yeah, I just wanted to give a little bit of an update on the numbers mostly, and then a few examples of how the number, the increase in cases is translating. I had mentioned this earlier about how dramatic the case numbers were going up. And yesterday I had mentioned that there were actually 900 new cases the day before. And that was a combination of new confirmed cases as well as new suspect cases. And I think I've defined this before, but I think it bears repeating because it's a very important number and gives insight as to what's really going on with the outbreak. And the suspect cases that are being cited by the various ministries of health in the various provinces are cases that are PCR confirmed, but to actually be called a confirmed case, it needs to be PCR confirmed twice. So the local lab does the test, and those that are positive on their PCR test, the samples get shipped off to the national lab, and then the national lab does their test to confirm that they get the same result. And so the confirmed cases have been positive locally and at the national lab, whereas the suspect had just been positive at the local. But the local test is pretty good, and so they, you know, almost always get positive results the second time. So they convert like the next day, or right now it might be delayed a little bit, so they get backed up somewhat. But when they put together their reports, they kind of do it in stages. So initially they get the confirmed updated, and then they have to collect a second number to find out how many suspects are kind of still waiting in line to get confirmed at the national lab. So the update really didn't happen until probably 3 or 4 in the morning East Coast time. And when it finally did get updated, there was a record number of suspect cases. There were 1,965. And then there were also, no, this is total, and there's also 1,287 confirmed. So when you add those two numbers together, that means that the total for the outbreak in China, this is just China's numbers, is up to 3,252. And if you just look at what happened for the 24 hours preceding that report, you add the two together of confirmed and suspect, and the numbers went up 1,562 for that one day. So the most recent report is 1,562. And if you did the same thing for the report before that, the day before that, it was about 900. And that's probably close to double what it's been before that. The two numbers together were a few hundred, at least 3 or 4 days ago. So in the last 2 days, it's been 900 new cases on one day and 1,562 on the next day. So it's kind of getting into this exponential increase level. And the 3,252 suggests that even if it doesn't accelerate, if it just maintains what it's done for the last day or two, the total number of cases is going to get higher than the 8,000 cases that were ultimately confirmed in the SARS outbreak. And it's a little bit alarming to both look at the rate of increase as well as look at the calendar, because with the SARS outbreak, it started in November, and it really didn't get going until late February is kind of when the key event to spread the virus, that in February 21st and 22nd, a physician who was treating patients in Guangdong province came to Hong Kong for a wedding. And by the time he got there, he was very ill. And he was only there for the one day, but he was up on the ninth floor and he vomited in the hallway, and they cleaned it up with the, once it had dried, they cleaned it up with a vacuum cleaner, and that put the virus into the air, and he probably put a lot of virus into the elevator going up to the ninth floor. So the ninth floor occupants, many of them got infected, and then some on other floors also were infected. And then most of those staying at the Metropole Hotel were tourists, so they took their infection back to their home country. And in four instances, it led to major outbreaks. There was one woman who was in Hong Kong from Toronto, and she was so sick that she died before she ever got to the hospital. But while she was at home and sick, her son was infected. And then when he went to the hospital, there was a major explosion there in cases, and that got the virus going in Toronto. And then the same thing happened in Hanoi and Vietnam, as well as Singapore, as well as another visitor from Hong Kong. And those all resulted in a large number of healthcare workers infected and a large number of patients. And they all kind of stemmed from one super spreader. But that happened in late February. And so those cases infecting all the people at the hospital and realizing that the people at the hospital were actually infected and showing symptoms, that took, well into March. So it wasn't until the beginning of March that word started to leak out that, you know, this mystery disease was showing up at all four of those major cities. And it turns out there was a deletion in one of the genes called ORF8. And that deletion was found in all of those subsequent international patients. And in fact, I believe all of the every patient that was infected outside of mainland China had that same 29 nucleotide deletion. So that kind of got the virus pretty much acclimated or able to replicate and cause serious disease in humans. So it kind of adapted to human transmission. And that didn't really happen until well into March, and it's still January. And if the numbers are 1,500 cases a day and climbing, if it's still accelerating, it'll probably be over 2,000 cases tomorrow. Tomorrow's report for today, and unless the reporting gets somewhat lagging because of a weekend or something like that, but barring some type of, you know, slowdown due to just testing, it seems likely that it's going to be going at 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 cases in a day. And by the end of this month, the total will have risen from where it is now, 3,252. This is just for China. It doesn't count other countries where it's been exported. But no, those aren't as high as China, of course. So the numbers could very well, the total could hit 8,000 in 2 or 3 days, 3 or 4 days, this month anyway. And so it's a bit alarming that it isn't even February yet, and things based on SARS didn't really take off until March, and really April was when most of the activity was. So this particular virus seems to have adapted and actually seems more aggressive right now than it was when it first started, although that might just be because there's so many people infected that there's going to be some that just are better at transmitting than others, and that they end up forming a large number of clusters. And clusters are kind of in the news, both exports and clusters. There's new cases popping up in multiple cities, and a couple of recent ones, the countries actually, were Singapore and Malaysia. And initial reports kind of indicated that they both had clusters in the sense that they had some people that form a cluster among themselves. And for Singapore, there was a 62-year-old male who was positive, and his son was showing symptoms and was subsequently positive. So that was a family cluster. And then there was a third person that was positive that was unrelated. So those were the first three cases in Singapore. So two of them were related to each other, and then the other one happened at almost exactly the same time, within a few hours. And so all of a sudden, they had two confirmed and one likely, which was then subsequently confirmed. So they quickly went from zero to three. And then kind of the same thing happened in Malaysia. And that happened shortly thereafter. And there was a 65-year-old woman with two of her grandsons, 11-year-old and 2-year-old. And they all became positive. So that formed another family cluster, and then a fourth person was confirmed. So they went from zero to four, and they were involved with two independent events where one family came in and produced three positives in a familial cluster, and then somebody totally unrelated came in, was also positive. But then the news came out that the 65-year-old female in Malaysia was the wife of the 66-year-old male in Singapore. So the whole family had come to Singapore. And apparently there were four other people, and their status was unclear, but there was a party of nine. And these five, the father and son, stayed in Singapore, and then the wife and two grandsons moved on to Malaysia, right next door. I mean, they went through that port that was adjacent to Singapore, so they were in the other part of the metropolitan area. I mean, it's one big area there, but they ended up resulting in the introduction of a cluster to both of these countries, which at the time didn't have any cases, or they were the first cases in both instances. So you had two different types, well, three different types of clusters. You had a family cluster, well, apparently all got infected in Wuhan. And then they broke off and created two different clusters and two different countries. And technically they were clusters of clusters. And because in each group, there was another person involved that arrived at the same time, although not related. So the fact that this would be happening in two different countries, and it wasn't just this, it was the same thing. And France had their first positives, and the first two were in two different parts of France, and then a third one came in, so they went from zero to three. And then Australia was the same thing, where they had one was positive in Victoria, and then they got three more in Northwest, and they happened, they were confirmed essentially on the same day. So they went from zero to four. So the fact that so many countries are getting positives for imports, and the U.S. got their second import in Chicago, so the U.S. went from one to two. So these countries that 3 or 4 days ago had no positives, all of a sudden had between two to four, and they had, most of them had at least one cluster. So that's just another indication that there's a lot of virus in China, and they're taking action to try to limit it. Because now it's clear that countries that are essentially screening people from Wuhan is probably not sufficient, because these other cities have their own sets of data. I talked a little bit about Shenzhen, which is in Guangdong province, and how they had, I think they have 14 different clusters in half of the half of the cases are in known clusters there, and so they've got a significant population that could move the virus further. And in fact, they do have a large number of suspect cases, and the suspect in the case are symptomatic in Hong Kong. And Hong Kong now has five confirmed, and few contacts that are starting to be symptomatic. And so China is talking about limiting, I think they shut down all the movie theaters, and they're talking about limiting travel out of the country from anywhere, and potentially limiting travel between cities and kind of a bunch of little islands that are of people that are wherever they are now and staying there. And how effective that's going to be is unclear, because these cities already have quite a few cases, and the numbers, we'll see what the numbers are tomorrow. In fact, I'm not even sure where all of these suspect cases are. There's a good chunk of them are probably in Hubei in various locations, and those cities are going under quarantine. And I think the total number of people in and around Wuhan is in the neighborhood of 45 million are now under quarantine. So Wuhan has about 11 million people, and there's a town adjacent to it that has about, I think, 7 or 8 million. So between the two of them, I think there's 19 million. But then there's other cities not far away that are about a million each, and that's how they kind of crept up to, first it was 25 million, and it was 35 million, and it was 45 million. So it's in that ballpark. I think most of those are in Hubei County and or province. And, but there's, you know, discussions of putting up those types of travel restrictions on other large cities. There is a problem with the beds in the hospitals are all full. There's videos of hospitals where people have died and they're on the floor in the waiting room and the personnel's too busy taking care of live patients to actually remove the bodies. They're actually in body bags, but they're literally on the floor while people are sitting in chairs right next to them waiting to be seen by the doctors. The halls are just overcrowded with people going to the waiting room or people in the waiting room. And there's concerns that there's a shortage of doctors now, and they're talking about bringing in military medical personnel to help with the load or to move some personnel from other provinces that haven't been hit that hard yet. Virtually every province has some cases. And it seems that in the larger ones that it's in an exponential phase where it's not at a high level and creeping up to go from 400 to 900 to 1500 on consecutive days. You know, suggests that the next report may well be over a couple thousand, and that's one quarter of the total that were confirmed in the SARS epidemic. There it was 8,000, so they're up to 2,000. It only would take 4 days if it just stayed at 2,000 to essentially eclipse the former number. There's some reports that more doctors are and healthcare workers are getting infected. One 62-year-old surgeon died, so that's the first healthcare worker that has died. He was in Wuhan, and it's just a deteriorating situation. I think the United States is sending a private plane to evacuate their embassy or government personnel anyway in Wuhan, and it sounds like the whole country. I mean, it is the new year, so it's going to slow down anyway, but it sounds like people are kind of sheltering in place, if you will, and as billions of people. So it's unclear how that type of restriction is going to work for that many people or how effective it's going to be, because the virus is already in these cities, and it does have the potential for spreading because it does seem to be both very efficient at going person to person and to make them sick enough that there are very few discharges. There are now more deaths. The dead is up to 42 with that physician, and the number of discharged is like 38. So there's actually more confirmed dead patients that have been confirmed by the test before they died. And then there are individuals that have been discharged. And in fact, most of those discharged was from the original outbreak. There was a paper came out in Lancet, and it indicated that I believe they had 41, and I think they had a total of something like 30 that they had outcome. Six of them died, and I think there was a 15% case fatality rate for them. But most of those discharges actually came from that original group, and the patients that have been admitted since then are still in the hospital, even if they haven't died, but they're or even if they're in stable condition, they're still in the hospital. And result that was publicized in the Atlanta paper came from a cluster in Shenzhen. And in that case, the youngest was 10 years old. He did not have symptoms, but the family had all tested positive and had CT scans, and their lungs definitely had pneumonia. And they insisted that the 10-year-old get a CT scan, even though he didn't have symptoms and he tested negative. And the CT scan indicated that he had been infected, or he was infected, and there was damage to his lungs, even though he didn't have symptoms. So that, of course, would raise additional alarms that patients that had been infected, there's probably a reluctance to discharge them because they might relapse and then start infecting people again. Not clear why so few are being released, but it's remarkable when they give a report out of Wuhan and they say there's 15 new deaths and one discharge. It's that type of a ratio, at least there. It's not that bad elsewhere, because there's only been, I believe, two deaths outside of the Wuhan area. So most of those affected have been relatively recently, and so they haven't been infected long enough to go into the fatal category. So I think that's about all we're going to do today. When the next update comes, it'll be interesting to see if there's another 2,000 people between those that are confirmed and those that are suspect. And another 2,000 would bring the total up to 5,000, and well within reach of getting to the 8,000 level in a day or two, really, if they're actually doing the tests and collecting samples at the national lab and trying to ease that backlog. I mean, they had 1,900 cases to confirm, based upon the report that came out very early this morning, about 12 hours ago, on the East Coast. So that's it for right now. We might do an update in between, but I think everybody was fairly shocked by that number. Well, they were actually shocked by the 900 number. They were looking at the number of new confirmed cases, and that was something like 250. And so 250 was high, but 900 is alarming. And of course, 1,500 the next day is even more striking. So I just wanted to clear up that one issue as to what those suspect cases are, and they're distinct from the suspect cases that are new arrivals in a different country. Those are suspect because they have symptoms and they're from Wuhan, but there's a lot of different infections that could give them a fever, and therefore most of those will end up testing negative. I think here in the United States there were, I think, 62 suspect cases, and nobody's expecting them to be 62 positives. If there's one or two positives out of those 62, that would actually be a fairly high number. But since there's already two that are here, it's certainly possible that there are two or more in those symptomatic cases. And I believe those results will be coming out in the next day or two, if not even today. Yesterday, several of them, it was clear they already had the samples on their way or had already arrived at the CDC to do the testing to confirm whether they really had positives or not. So we're going to end it right now, but if needed, we'll come up again later today, but probably the next update will be tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Naiman, for the information as always. And listeners, as I say to you every time, please keep up to date with Trooper Combat Economics. say, oh, we always are putting stuff up there. The situation is very rapidly evolving, and I really hope that everyone that is listening to these podcasts, you know, please, you know, seek the advice of your national governments, because, like I said, this is going to be end up probably becoming a very serious situation. So everyone just stay safe and please keep up to date. It's very important. All right. Thanks. Bye.